Like, there's so many ways to be a good educator. And I think we've gotten into this, not even like Pinterest version of teaching anymore. Like, I think we passed that Pinterest version that now we're in like the TikTok version of education, where like you have to be so flashy and so interesting and engaging. And like, it has to look good in every like moment or snapshot, that we've lost kind of the, you know, just the care for students.
It's not a game, it's a rich game.
What up, peeps? This is Alyssa, and I'm here with my co-host and faux little bro, Andre.
And welcome to another episode of Teachers Like Us.
I always laugh afterward, and I can't help it. It's always like, it's been a minute. I'm sorry.
Been a minute. Been watching every week that we get those, like, again, if you don't know, we get updates of like the amount of downloads and listeners and all that stuff every week. That number just goes like down, down. And the reason is not because you don't like us, or I hope it's not, but it's because
I mean,
there's nothing new to listen to.
True.
All right. So, but we are here. We are surviving. And by the title of today, you'll see that, you know, there's a reason why we haven't been able to record. Man, I've been working.
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 W-E-R-K.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's jump right into it. Mental health check. Tell us what's been happening.
I am okay as always. I always try and be, you know, the positive lighter in this
I wish
dark
y'all could
world.
see my eyes right now. I mean, if you insist, positive light
beaming of positive, beaming with, sorry, positivity.
After, yeah. I just listened to you for a good half hour. Just so you know, we always talk before the podcast happens because we have to catch up, like actually catch up. So let it be known, this guy is not a ray of sunlight right now. Gosh, stop lying to the people then.
No, I'm not lying. It's the, it's, you know how there's the curtain, you know, it's, not everybody is privy to what happens behind the curtain. A lot of my my inner thoughts get displayed with a smile when I don't actually feel like smiling, but I give it to a smile to save face. But the people that are closer to me, you get a little bit more of the realer side of me. And the realer side of me is like, it's funny, you know, actually we're going off, but it's always funny to me that like people are always like, oh my gosh, Andre, you're just so positive, you're always so calm. I don't know what I would do in a situation. I can always turn to you and get some advice. But in real life, the advice that I give, never do I take it for myself.
Fair.
I am about the action. I'm about the let, if people are like, let's ride, I'm like, where are we going? Like, oh.
At dawn, we ride. You're like, yeah. I was already there.
I'm the one like in, what is that movie? In Mad Max, like hanging off the side. Like, yeah. that's usually who I am, but I have to like tame him and keep that person super close to my heart. But
that means mental... hold on, your theme song is like, let's go, if you want it, you can get it. Let me know. That's the music that's playing like behind you as you move through life.
Facts. Yeah, facts. But I have to play it with like headphones that nobody can hear. Exactly. But overall, I'm doing okay. I think around this time last year, we were very much talking about what all teachers talk about at this time with like teacher burnout and all that stuff. We can get into that later. But this year, I haven't experienced it. And it could be just because of, again, all of the work that I'm doing and the movement where I'm not like stuck in, sounds bad to say stuck, but not stuck in one school, in one place, going there every day.
Yeah.
And dealing with the same faces, same people, same problems every day. Moving around has been helpful. It helps to keep me on my toes.
That's
other
cool.
Than that, I'm good. I'm good. How about you?
I don't know, truthfully. Like, I feel like in the grand scheme of things, I actually feel like this is like a duplicate of what I said like last pod, which was a few weeks ago. But in the grand scheme of things, I'm fine, right? Like, I feel like I'm like, okay, I'm managing. However, like, I'm very aware of my depression right now. And just the overwhelm that I'm feeling and the like, this feels like too much. So I'm very much there right now with the like, I'm overwhelmed. But for me, it's not just work. Truthfully, it's like kind of everything all at once. And like, even when I think about like yesterday, I had a moment where I had an interview for this thing, not a new job, but like a little side thing. And during the interview, I was like I started the interview with saying to them, like, I'm sorry, I'm just very overwhelmed right now. Like, there are just 50 million things happening. And so my brain is not actually here. Like, I'm going to try my best, but like, I just feel very like, I like used my hands and like put them by my forehead. I'm like right here. I'm like right at the tipping point. So just so you know. And yeah, like I almost cried during that interview, but I was just like, there's so much. And it was because I was like out of school in the morning. And then I had I have big ticket items that are actually going to be due shortly. At work. And then I'm taking on like multiple outside projects, whether that be like work, like additional writing teams or outside like influencery type things. But I'm taking all of these on to fund my daughter's dance, which is also taking like life out of me because it's like, we're in competition season. So I'm going to be like at these competitions. And so I'm trying to manage my time. And then I'm also like nearing my deadlines for achieving candidacy for my PhD. And so my prof's like, hey, you have to achieve candidacy by the fall. And so I'm like, okay, I'm on it. So I right now feel like I'm doing a lot, and I am. Mm-hmm. And I know that I can't get away from any of those things because they're all necessary in order for the other thing to function. And so I'm having like real tension in everything right now, having tension in my spirit, tension in my body, so bad, in fact, so bad that I slept wrong last week, woke up, my entire right side of my body said, nope. and so like, when I tell you that Daddy Bear had been like massaging, icing me, like getting me stuff, like working through like all of that stuff, and it was so bad, even like today, it's still pretty bad, but like it was so bad on the weekend that I had a literal bulge in my neck from a muscle. Like you could just, the muscle was sticking out because everything was just so tight and tense. So yeah, all that to say, I'm really stressed right now. And
and I don't know when it's going to end.
And I don't. But I feel, I think because I'm just, and this sounds like arrogant, but because I'm smart, I can like kind of overthink all of these things, and not overthink as in like overthink, but I can like be on top of it and see downwards and be like, you're stressed right now, but you're stressed because of these things. And yes, there will be an end to all of these at some point, just not right now. So you're going to have to wade through it a little bit longer. And so that's like an interesting feeling for me, and has always been really interesting with my depression, in that like I have it, but I'm aware of it at the same time. So I like think about it and I'm like, hey, like you feel like this right now because of this. And so I can kind of rationalize it. But it does make it hard to do things. Like, thank goodness we got to record this podcast tonight, but I had to tell myself like, you have to record, you don't have a choice. Because in all fairness, Andre gave me an out today. He's like, do you want to record or not? And I literally was going to be like, I'm not doing this. And then I was like, nah, you gotta like, actually you have to record, because if you don't, then it's going to be another thing that you're like, I gotta do this thing. And so I'm trying to be smart and being like, get it over with, as awful as that sounds. I'm happy to be with you. But like, you know, get it over with, so you're not holding on to these things for later.
It almost feels like, it feels like it's part of like, adulting. So even outside of, you know, teaching and all that stuff, I'm sure if you're not a teacher and you listen to this pod, that you have your own like multitask, all of the tabs open moments where you're like, I can manage it, but do I actually? is this actually healthy? Should I actually be managing 17 things at once? But it's part of the gig. It comes with all of the responsibilities and stuff that we have to do, or the things that, I guess we put on ourselves to be, what is it, like, successful, be happy, or feel like, we're doing the best that we can for our children and stuff like that. But it comes with muscles bulging out of our neck and
All
stuff
the
like
way out. Like it
that.
looked like I had a growth because there's just so much. And like to the point where I'm like, even still, like my shoulder, my back, like I'm in an immense amount of pain. And I had a massage booked for today that I couldn't even go to because I had so many things booked that I was like, it was stressing me out trying to figure out how I was going to get to this massage on time. And so I ended up giving it to Daddy Bear. And I was like, just go take my massage. Like, at least one of us can be relaxed.
Relax.
Because it's not me right now. I'm on the precipice. Like, yeah. So just so you know. So if, again, if anyone's trying to email me right now and I'm not responding, I don't have the capacity. Don't ask me for anything right now. The answer is no.
True.
Like,
True.
if anybody asked me for anything right now, I'd no, sorry, can't. Because I physically cannot take on one more thing. Like, I'm literally balancing like all the plates and all the things, and it's gonna be like that one thing. Someone's gonna be like, can I just add one more? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. And then everything's gonna be like,
Hold this fork, please.
phew. Yeah. So yeah, that's that. It's crazy busy right now.
Yeah, I was gonna
And
say
like,
we said, like, we've been working. So what have you been doing, as far as working? What's been taking up most of your time as your, I guess, what is it, nine? It's not technically 9 to 4 or whatever.
My 11 p.m. You mean? Listen, I am working the strangest hours right now, and only because again, there's so much to do that you just kind of like, I could keep it to work hours, which I'm gonna say to people, do as I say and not as I do, because I really am that person that will work late, and take like breaks. Like I'd be like, you know what? At 2 o'clock, I'll be like, you know what? I'm done for the day. Like in my mind, I'm like, I'm checked out here. But then I'll like go back later and do stuff. But I'm working on a lot of kind of like end of the year type reports. Again, it's hard to say, like, I don't know how much I can like divulge about what I'm doing, but I think what people should know about, I guess, central positions is that you have to continue to prove their worth. And continue to prove their effectiveness. Because again, they're not positions that are set in stone forever. They're based on funding, they're based on any number of things. And so, unfortunately, and I think this is an unfortunate part, you have to like put together all this documentation that says, look, like I swear we're doing things. But that takes away from, I think, the work that you could be doing with students. So I'm gonna like segue and then we can come back to it because I know you're doing stuff too. But something that I got to do this week that was really cool that I haven't done in so long is that I got to sit in a classroom and like actually be with students again. And for me, it's been a while because it's not like I am, you know, a resource teacher that's out and I'm like in schools constantly and then like in classrooms. So that was actually really refreshing. I text Andre when I was in the class and I was like, oh my gosh, I could teach a 4 or 5 split. I don't want to, but I could. because it was so nice to be in there. And what I saw was really cool because I think a lot of times, when we talk education, we talk about how garbage it is and how the systems suck and how everything sucks. But watching a good teacher do what they do well was so encouraging and refreshing. And it was just really neat to kind of be in that space. But I will say the first thing the educator said to me when we were done the period was like, oh, I know it wasn't that great. Like, totally self-deprecating. And I was like, stop. Like, I had to be like, absolutely not. I'm like, this was fantastic. And then I think obviously because I was there, they were like, oh, you know, they sat for too long. I didn't really like have them up and moving. I'm like, but they were hooked. The kids were sitting on the carpet, locked in,
Yeah.
giving the answers, like participating. And so I say all that to say that, like, I think we're really hard on ourselves as educators. And as a result, or maybe like we're hard on ourselves because of what happens kind of higher up in the higher up levels. And you know, you get instructions that say you must do this. And then you think if you're not doing that thing like exactly perfectly, that you're failing as an educator. And you're so not. Like, there's so many ways to be a good educator. And I think we've gotten into this not even like Pinterest version of teaching anymore. Like, I think we passed that Pinterest version, that now we're in like the TikTok version of education, where like you have to be so flashy and so interesting and engaging, and like it has to look good in every like moment or snapshot, that we've lost kind of the, you know, just the care for students. And that's what I saw in that educator. That educator cared about those kids, and those kids cared about that educator, and they were like bought in together. Like, yeah.
To give, I think to give just some pushback, or maybe, you know, a little bit of crotchiness with it, is like
Oh, who's this? Tell me more.
the see, again, we can open the curtain just a little bit, you know, get a little peek, little peek, little peek. I feel like I think like that's great that you had that experience, but that also could have happened again because you were in a classroom with a solid, good, caring teacher or educator, right? If I feel like maybe if your experience was in a different type of classroom or a different type of environment, maybe it wouldn't have felt so, you know, refreshing and encouraging and all that stuff. And I
You
know
think
for
I would have been like, thank goodness I'm not there.
exactly, like, whoa, look at these kids, they're crazy, they don't even like her like that or like him like that. I don't want to be back here because they don't like him, they're not gonna like me, like stuff like that. I feel like even in the fact that like we're trying to say, like, you know, teaching and education as a whole, there's sometimes that care has been, like, you know, forgotten, and there's our teachers that do care and do a lot for their school community in general, not just their classroom. But there's some of you.
You're not wrong. Say it.
There's some of you that I don't know. I don't. It's not even a thing of if I know that you can. I can see you don't care.
I love that he's trying, like, you're trying to like make it sound nicer by making a joke out of it, but like
Yeah,
genuinely, some of you don't care about kids.
some of you don't care. Like, you actually like the. Or I should say, maybe the care that I think you should have, like, when I say I think, I'm talking about basic care. Like, you know, you left class and it's been 10 minutes and I don't know where you are. Maybe I should try and see where you are, like stuff like that, right? Or, you know, you came or you've come to school for the past, like, 3, 4, 5 days, and I notice that at lunchtime you're not eating anything, but because I have my snacks, I'll go on and eat because I'm full. You got to figure that stuff out on your own. That care that should be there for students isn't there in every classroom. I don't really know how to change that or even how to speak to those type that educated that is in that room, because again, we talk about all the time, like, just like burnout, and it's re like teacher burnout comes from, like you said, trying to be or trying to look perfect. So even though I'm doing a good job, I in myself, I don't think I'm doing good. I always think I could do better, and because I'm always striving to give you my TikTok moment, like you said, it doesn't actually, it's not helping me. And I never feel like fulfilled. I never feel like, hey, this kid actually is buying into just the education that they're getting as a whole and will turn out to be a good citizen moving forward, after they leave my class. And I don't really know, like, I don't know how to change, like, how that changes in the system of education as a whole. And that's where my mind kind of sits sometimes, where when I go into a school or I go into a classroom or I hear about something happening at a school, and I'm like, how did this take place? How is this not happening? What is this person thinking when they're, waking up in the morning to get in front of 25, 26 children?
Yeah, okay. So I get that piece, right? Like I get that there are educators like that, but I'm saying like we often talk about those educators, right? We talk about what like the people who are like done with it. And I think if I'm going to be honest, I think it's easy to actually fall into that trap of like I don't care. Like I'm tired.
It's very easy because it's, especially if you're in a community where there's, multiple people that are in this vein of like, let's just, get these lessons out and June will come and we'll do it all again in September and everything in the middle will just be a blur. You can quickly just be like, all right, I'm along for this, that roller coaster that since, this is what the staff is dealing with over here, I'll just jump on it. Rather than being different and charting your own path.
Yeah, but what I was okay. I feel like to kind of link the two, when even when I was talking about like going into this classroom, I didn't go into this classroom because the educator was doing a good job. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, there's something that you saw, like.
something that I was like again, I was brought in to work with that educator. And so I think sometimes what can happen is, educator has maybe great intentions. And we know the difference between, intent versus impact, but like even just to take it back, educator had great intentions, maybe it didn't go as planned, something happens as a result. I think in that instance, like when I went into that class, I was expecting maybe like that no care to be there. But there wasn't. Like I said, I was like amazed. I was like, fantastic. These kids love it. You love it. Fantastic. All that to say, though, like you can be the best educator. You can be bought in and like trying to do everything perfectly and still mess the hell up.
100%.
And I feel like we don't give enough grace to educators to mess the hell up.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I don't think there's moments in education for you to have a sideways moment or to have a moment where you drop the ball and for someone to be like, ah, no biggie, or like, ah, you'll come back from this, or ah, how can I support you? I feel like we're very kind of quick to be like, well, hang them up. Whereas like someone who maybe doesn't care as much and is maybe doing less isn't seen or heard, or like is less likely to, I guess, ruffle feathers because they're not actually trying to do anything. They're just going in and teaching X, Y, and Z. Kids are kind of, again, like you said, like maybe leaking out of the classroom and like, but like no actual quote unquote harm is being done by the educator because they're not doing anything that could cause harm. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm.
No. I think so you're saying sorry, so you're saying like you could be someone who is striving to do your best and mess up, and that's what's seen. The actual striving and the doing the good work and the making the connections and all that stuff is not seen. Where a teacher who can, just do the minimum is gonna go under the radar because they're turning in the kids are connecting to the work however they're connecting to it, so they're turning in positive grades. Maybe they're making connections with parents at home because there's no complaints because there's nothing happening really other than come do your work, goodbye.
And so I just feel like, how do we navigate that as a system, as educators, as like what supports are we putting in place for people to ensure their success? Or are we just hoping people are going to fail? Like, are we setting people up to fail? I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of existential questions right now.
I feel like that's what our roles in the different departments that, like, not just us, but like resource teachers across different departments. That's what your job is. It's supposed to be to, you know, go in and support. But I think where the disconnect is sometimes, or not even sometimes, where it is like point blank, especially with me, when everybody knows, like, hey, I'm coming from a department that deals with like school support, student discipline, like, but they don't really know, like, when is the time to call for me? What is it that I can actually help with? All of those things. That's where the disconnect is where the resource teacher is there, or the resources themselves are there, but there's no connection to it unless the teacher actually goes out and makes the connection to it. Right. So if the teacher's not taking on that extra, again, we call this episode talking about all the work that we're doing. If you don't take on the extra work to do the AQ or to read the book or to cipher through the Google search and find something that is meaningful to the situation that you're dealing with, whether it's a child or a subject, if you're not doing that extra work, then all the things that are kind of there for you, which are good, they're rich. Like, you know, somebody like Alyssa coming in, into your class is once in a lifetime greatness opportunity to have.
Oh, not but... the flattery.
Trying to pick up your spirits just a little bit. But like, if that doesn't have, if you don't know that that's available to you unless you actually reach out for it yourself. And that's maybe where the problem is.
So then I guess, okay, not I guess. Here's the question that I'm going to ask, maybe from a systems perspective. And this is like, not as somebody who works there, someone who, like, put yourself maybe in the mindset of just someone who has visited a lot of schools.
Okay.
If you were to design your perfect air quotes, system of support for educators. So you were... Let's say you're the director of education.
Okay, the big seat.
Yeah, that's right. Put yourself in that chair. What do you put in place for educators to help make them successful? Maybe like, I guess, 3 to 5 things. And these can be made up departments or made up things that don't even exist ever. But if you're going to like generate, yeah, you're going to put together your perfect school board and you're like, hey, this is what teachers need in order to be successful. What are your 3 to 5 departments that you need?
I think I would try and put together some sort of so whatever departments I have in place, the overall department that would kind of look into all of them, there would be some sort of accountability department. Something that is going to say, like, we are going to put these initiatives forward. We're going to try these things. We are going to give you these resources or provide you with these personnel that are resources. But there's going to be something in place. Like you were just saying, where you're like, you know, I'm doing end of the year report stuff to essentially show value to whether it's my role or the department or whatever the case may be. I would want that to happen across the board, not just... On one hand, yes, very much to see, like, okay, who's really doing what and is it working? And if it's not working, why is it not working? Or why is nobody using it? And that could be kind of punitive, I guess. But it's also to say, like, okay, because I'm in the big chair, it also comes with the budget. And I need to make sure that the money's actually being handled properly. So if you know, my teachers are gravitating towards this type of support in this way, why am I going to have 15 different things when this is what's working? Let me put a little bit more energy, put more personnel, put more resources in that section, whether it's a department or whatever the case may be, and actually, again, my big thing that I would want, which is what I was just saying, I want it so that if there's something at the board level for you, you're actually giving it. Like, it's not just you have to put in extra work and you have to go to the night PD at 5:30 to 8:30 and all kind of nonsense that I would never do. but
Same.
or you have to go like trek to the far school to see what they're doing and try and bring that back to your school. Like, I want to make things a lot more accessible, but actually make them that you don't have to be the one reaching out. These things are coming to you, and now I need you to actually hold on to them, because again, this accountability is coming to say, like, hey, don't tell me that your kids, what's something that I'm the director of education. Don't tell me that, all of the grade threes in my school board are horrible at EQAO, because I've done all of this to make it so that hopefully this is not the case. So, hey, teachers, what are you guys doing? Or hey, principal, admin, whatever it is, what are you all doing? I can't even think about the other things, because that would be like the number one thing that I think is missing. Is there's no way to make it so that mandatory is the wrong word, but it's the first word that comes to mind. But there's nothing that kind of makes it so, like, hey, the things that we are putting in place, whatever these new initiatives are, we're actually putting them in the hands of teachers, putting it on, what is it, on the desk of children. Like, you're
Is it
not,
landing on student desks?
yeah, like, you're not actually. There's nothing that actually makes that happen, and that's where kind of the disconnect happens, where you have 50 initiatives. Sorry, I'm talking a lot, but you have 50 initiatives, but only, three, four of them actually land on student desk or land in the lap of a teacher for them to use. And those get used, and they're great, and kids connect, and it's fun, and they do all of whatever it is that they do, and there's connection made there. But then you have, 47 other things that just don't work
Yeah,
for
fair.
whatever reason. Even if those things are good, they just don't work because they're not being used.
Yeah, I agree.
What would you do?
Oh my goodness, do I have a plan for you? No, I'm kidding. I don't, but like I have things that I don't have all the inside information, and this is why I asked this question to Andre. Like, I think I should, I guess contextualize it a little bit in that, like, I have a little bit of information now that we work where we work, but we still don't see like behind the curtain. We don't see across the bridge. Quite literally, we don't see across the bridge. And so there are pieces of the puzzle that we're missing. So all of this is very theoretical, and like, and again, this may already exist, right? Like, for all I know, it does, and I'm just not seeing that. But I would first put something into place that links all of my departments together. There needs to be some kind of cross panel something that says, hey, oh, you're talking about equity of access, you're talking about equity of curriculum, you're talking about equity of this. Perhaps that should be one unifying thing. So that way we haven't put out three very similar things, initiatives. So what is the thing that links everything together? I think that kind of like systems piece is always needed in a school board. Again, I'm always gonna, ride for equity because I do think it's important if done well. That's fine. You're allowed to have a dissenting opinion. I think if done well, it is a very effective thing to have, and it doesn't always need to be. Okay, you know what? Let's just talk equity for a second. I think the problem with equity in the way that it is structured, and I'm not saying from us specifically, but like by and large, DEI initiatives come with this sort of like crisis management lens, right? Like, if
Yeah, for sure.
something is going wrong, it's an equity issue and equity will fix it, right? And so if you're constantly doing all of the putting out of fires, you never get to the actual proactive work that is supposed to happen that lends itself to like greater impact, right? Because you're constantly just putting out little fires everywhere, and it doesn't lend itself to like putting big systems in place. And so then you run into these problems where it's like, well, what do you actually do if all you're doing is addressing kids saying the N-word all day, right? And so that's a little bit difficult. But the other thing, like, I think I would I think, again, when I go back to like my idea of having like a something to just link everything together in this like kind of cross panel approach, there are so many times, like Andre and I were talking earlier about the fact that RTs from my department, RTs from his department run into each other as they should, right?
As they should.
As they should. They run into each other because you're working in the same superintendency, and so you should cross paths with those people. But what is the thing that, again, links those two RTs together that allows them to do work together and to move their initiatives forward? Because the goal at the end of the day is student success, right? And student achievement. And so how do we take our what we've been called in for and what you've been called in for and blend it together? And keep in mind, we are two departments out of many, right? So you have to think, out of our RTs, there's other RTs in other departments. We keep saying RTs, resource teachers, for anyone who's like, I missed the memo. But if you have, again, let's say five departments and five resource teachers from each department in those areas, how are those systems linking up to make something happen? Or is it always just like, my thing is my thing is your thing, and that's it?
You know what's funny? I feel like that's exactly what it is because that's my stance sometimes where it's sometimes I feel like when we're putting something together, there's this call like to say like, okay, bring this department in, bring this department in. Let's get their feedback before we, put it out to the world. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but also, do we need to? Do we even want to, or are we just doing it because, it's the thing that should be done, to like check the box, especially like if you're gonna talk about, like you said, like DEI work, like are we just doing it because it checks the box? And how when somebody says like, hey, you're not an equitable company, you can say no. Look, we have this whole department, and they do blah 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 blah. Like, right? So I feel like. Yes, there needs to, I really feel like there needs to be that call, like you said, of what is like teamwork. Like, yeah, we're all on the same team.
Collaboration.
Yeah, we're all on the same team. Let's put something together. Let's do work together. Let's be at these different schools or events and all that stuff. Let's do this stuff together so that everyone sees like one unified front. Where
Power to the people.
you exactly, where it's something that you don't really see. You see a lot of like individual, like, okay, we're doing this, but it looks like what they're doing, but it's not exactly the same because we
Yeah,
changed the
it's not
wording at the
exactly the
end.
same. We did our own twist on
Yeah.
it. We
Yeah.
love that. I feel like that is something, and again, this is not specific to us, but like, I think we as a culture have just been raised in this very, like, I'm gonna shine, right? And so that's what kind of like the scarcity mindset of like, well, only one person can get recognition for this. So like, if it's gonna be anyone, it's gonna be us, right? And so then we just like create and we hoard instead of like creating and being like, yo, like, how do we make this bigger and better? And this is coming from me, somebody who hates collaboration. I don't want to work with anybody. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to like, I don't want to, but I understand the value in it. And I feel like this is gonna lead me down another path. I feel like if people were more efficient, I'd be more willing to work with them. But I don't want to sit in long
Pew,
chats.
pew, 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 pew.
I'm just saying, I don't have time for the long chat. So if we are gonna collaborate, I think that we need to figure out better ways of collaboration, because sometimes collaboration be like, I have an idea. And then someone else is like, but I have another idea. And someone else is like, I have a third idea. And I'm like, yo. Can we just come up with like this and work through it instead of like, just trying to like tiptoe around the information or add like my agenda? And if we do it my way, then it's the right way. I don't know. I feel like this podcast is all over the place, but I have so many thoughts lately
Yeah,
because we haven't been podcasting. And so
exactly.
now you're just getting my brain dump of thoughts.
I told you we've been working, and when you're working, a lot of the thoughts that we have, they don't you can't like flush through them because you're doing so much other things, right?
It's true.
So
You're just
it's
running, and then
difficult.
You're like, hey, I have no one to bounce this off of. But I think, like, it's funny. I think to myself often, like, oh, if Andre and I could just work together, like in our separate departments, but work together, we would get so much done. I feel like we would get so much like collaborative things done because we just understand how to work together.
Yeah, but that like that comes with the friendship, and that's hard to, I guess that's hard to.
Oh, not you admitting the friendship.
there's this like, there's a thin line between like, or not even thin. It's a, actually no, there's a thick line between like friendship,
juicies,
friendship, and like my professional, work partners.
Okay. Right?
And because like when I say that, I mean like, again, like I've said earlier in the podcast, there's a lot of things that come up in my mind or things that I might say, but I don't say them. I keep them behind the curtain, and I only let certain people behind the curtain to actually see those inner thoughts, which I'm sure not just something I do. I'm sure that's something that everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in a professional setting, that's what happens. You have your professional, you have a work friend that, you know, haha, we joke, we eat lunch together, we work in separate departments, or we work in the same department and we work on tasks and we have side conversations while we're doing our task,
mm-hmm.
versus what our friendship, where like Bun, the school board that we work for, not actually Bun, you guys, because you know, like,
not me, I need my job, I'm sorry,
yeah, I need my job. So not like actually one of you guys, but like one the school board that we work for. This is like my brethren. This is my friend, right? And because she's my friend, now when we bring that into a workspace, there's certain things that fire, certain things that click better because we're friends.
Yeah, fair. Where
that can be a little bit more. It can be more difficult to navigate because again, you're trying to stay professional, like that's the P that you're trying to keep. You're trying to keep professional at all times.
We don't do that well.
Not at all. Not at all. If you can hear some of the like the actual words that are in those nope. whispers,
don't open the chat. Don't open the chat. Everybody's fired. Okay. So you know what? Now we're on like, sorry, I know this podcast is going to go long because now I have a new train of thought that we're going to talk about.
Yes, we're many trains for the many tabs that
I have so many tabs open, but like you were talking about like the different levels of friendship. And I think this is really interesting because lately I feel like people have been really weaponizing the word friendship in work environments.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that.
And like very much like leaning into this like idea of friendship. And so like I wonder if you were to talk about, this is gonna get real dicey, if you were to talk about your coworkers, not me, but like mm-hmm. your new coworkers, or maybe even like other coworkers that we've had at, you know, our school that we came from, are those, would you call those people friends, or would you call them colleagues, would you call them acquaintances, and at what level would that change?
They would all sit at excuse me, they would all sit at different levels. Like there's some people that are like, I feel like I could, you know, message you on the weekend and or I could end up at like your kid's birthday party because that's the friendship that we have. We're like, yeah, we both work at XYZ school or XYZ department, but there's a little bit more. There's still, again, but still not where like your kids aren't calling me Uncle Andre. Like they still know that's Andre from, or that's Mr. M from work.
Okay.
But there's still that like
familiarity. Like,
I was gonna say comfortability, but same thing. Yeah, there's still we're a little bit more comfortable in our role, so that like again that line is maybe not as thick. It's only has one C.
Okay, so we have the thick with two C's friendship, then we have the thick with one C friendship. Okay, so then I can tell you who those people are. Like I know in my mind who those people are. Who comes after that?
I think after like when when you say after that, are we getting farther away from who, like farther away from me or closer to me?
Oh, well, I guess you started in a weird place. So now you have to decide which way we're going.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people, or let me not say that way because that sounds rude. There's people that if I were to push you farther away, you wouldn't notice because, again, I'm still going to be, you know, cordial, still going to be haha. I've never been the person that if you tell a joke, if I find it funny, I'm laughing. it's never not happening. I could not like you. You get one off, you get I will laugh.
Absolutely not. So I have to chime in here because if I do not like you, your joke is not funny. I don't care how funny your joke was.
Yeah, but
I'm never laughing at your joke.
I can't do that with everybody. There's certain people where I'm like, haha, and then I'm like, not that funny. Keep that to yourself next time. But even those people, you get one off, if you have a joke and it's funny, I will laugh.
But the way you keep going with this, but keep going.
But like I said, there's people that where you're in that line of like, hey, you are a colleague, and that it doesn't sound like colleague is not very, it's not a very like warm word. It's kind of like a cold be over there type thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone who I'm considering like, hey, I only know you between the hours of 9 and 3 o'clock, don't chat to me outside of that.
Yeah.
And that would be like the farthest extent of what they call, some colleagues would be out there where like, I don't want to speak to you in nothing that doesn't have to do with our job. And yeah. I only talk about my job between 9 and 3 o'clock. Right.
But would you still call them friend?
No, you're a colleague.
Okay.
You're like colleague, like I said, colleague is the cold word for me. Cold. I know something like I said, cold word for me. Where like, hey, you're out there. You're okay. Out there.
And then there's people that you just don't like at all. They're not even gonna talk to in school.
Yeah, like if I see you, and you see me, like, how do I say this? There's certain people, like if I see you and I say hi to you, I'm always, again, ray of positivity and peacefulness.
My goodness.
I see you and I say hi, or I wave, or I ask how you're doing, those are all genuine things. If you choose not to respond, the day is coming where you're gonna look at me, I'm gonna look at you, and we're just gonna go opposite ways in the hallway. And you'll be like, oh man, Andres, that smell is doing. I thought he actually cared. No, you didn't answer. So now I know that you didn't care. So why am I wasting my breath and asking you questions that you don't care about?
Don't kill me. All right. So I feel like friendship is overused.
You're going to see that there's this difference between like me and, again, me being positive and kind of keeping everybody in a certain realm. Whereas Alyssa takes this big 10-foot pole out and puts everybody at the 20-yard line.
1,000% from her. You know what? You are not at all wrong in that. I definitely keep people at bay. Like, I will keep people as far away as I possibly can, because I find the closer and the more people you have close to you, the easier it is for nonsense and drama to unfold. And maybe that's just, and again, I hate to like gender this, but maybe it's me as a woman, and like that kind of energy.
It's a trauma response.
Okay, no, I don't mean like me as a woman, but I mean like me as a woman working in a female dominated field where like,
okay,
the more collectiveness, I don't know, I hate to do this. People are gonna be like, oh my gosh, you just said all women are catty. I didn't, but like, it just becomes real nasty. But in any case, I would say that like, I would not describe as many people as friends as people who describe me as their friend. I think that's wild.
I think that's hilarious. Because that means the person that you try and tell everybody on this podcast, when you're like, don't chat to me, I don't want to speak to nobody, you're doing the exact opposite on road that everybody feels like, oh, Alyssa, We're just so close. We work together all the time. She's so amazing. She knows my kids. I follow her on Instagram and I get to see her whole life. And that means that we're friends. That's what happened.
But you've described so many people, like, and there are, like, to some extent, there are people, again, who I have who started as, you know, peeps on Instagram. They followed me on Instagram. They just happened to work for the same board. I started to get to know them as I moved into roles. And yeah, we became friends. But there are others that, like, people be saying, like, that's my friend, but you don't know me like that. And that's wild to me because I could say it's probably because you know more of me than I know of you, right? Like, you listen to me on the pod, you watch me on Instagram. And so, from a parasocial stance, right? Like, you feel like you know me. You feel like,
Yeah,
oh
they're
yeah, that's my
comfortable.
friend. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
they're
my friend.
comfortable
I
with
know
you.
that girl. And I'm like, I don't know you like that. Like, I'm not trying to be in your space outside of here. And like, if I have to, it's because I have to. Like, I feel like, so I would say, like, when people say to me things like, oh, do you talk to so and so or is so and so your friend? I would be like, no, and not in a mean way. But like,
Cold-blooded, no.
it is. It's a cold
Who's
blooded. Like,
that?
we're not friends like that. Like, I had to have this conversation with somebody last week, and I'm like, I don't talk to them like that. I don't talk to this person like that. Like, but I was genuine in this. Like, I don't actually have big conversations with people. Like, at work, like my friends, I literally said to them, I was like, yo, I talk to one person here. And I maybe talk to two people overall. And like, I don't know what to like. So I think it's funny when people are like, oh, like, you know, either people have like one of two impressions of me, right? Either they're like, she's awful, she's evil, she's like such a B word.
Let's
Or
stop it.
no, or they're like, she's so delightful, she's so smiley and like fun and ma, 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 ma. And like, I think I'm equal parts those things.
Yeah. I think you're zero of the other one.
The lies you tell, because there are people I could list them for you. It's starting to grow. I'm starting to grow like a hate club out here. Like, I'm sure there's a president. Actually, I already know who the president is.
But the people that might fall into that precedent of I hate Alyssa, they hate you because you're so nice and so and
Imagine.
do your job so well. They're like, how dare she come to work at 9 every day?
And leave early. I'm getting fired tomorrow.
Right, so that's what it is. I don't think anybody's out there like, oh, look at this. I hate this crotchety lady. Like,
I
I
really
don't
think
think
people
anyone's
do.
like that.
That's how I assume
And I
people see
think,
me.
like, the laughter that comes for me is because the people that are like that, like, for the people that are Alyssa's ops out there, you guys bring joy to my day. The day that people are like, so Alyssa, and I'm like, oh, really? Her? Oh, no way. Like, in my mind, I'm dying with laugh. Like, there's no way you guys can hate her like this.
Is wild to me. This is why we're having this conversation too, because I'm like, yo, like, people really be not liking me for no reason. Like, I never said we were friends. Don't tell me stuff. Like, me and you are not like that. And I'm not having those, I'm not having those types of chats with anybody. Like, I feel like everybody knows that I have one friend, right? And like, now let's add your wife to that, because again, I see her now enough. We are now friends, right?
Yeah.
But like, before then, everybody knew. Also had one friend. So stop saying that you're my big friend, because then you confuse people when people are like, ah, like, what's happening?
I thought it was only one.
We're not, I don't have no friends. And I'm not lying when I say that. I have people that I'm friendly with, but I think that there's a real difference between being friendly because I'm in an environment where, like, I'm not going to just be mean to people for no reason. Like, I'm not really going to try to engage you, but I'm not also like a mean person by nature.
Yeah.
And like a friendship that I have. And so I would say that, like, even like work friends for me is weird. I feel like I either have friends or I don't have, or we're not friends. It doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means that, like, I would never say like, ah, oh, my friend said this. I'd be like, ah, oh, this person I worked with said this.
True. But
This
I feel like I'm like
person I
that too.
know.
I feel like I'm like that too, but I again, because I'm trying to be kind, cordial, dispel the myths of the angry black man. Like I'm
Fair.
because I'm trying to do, and like I say that jokingly, but that's like really what I'm trying to do. Like I might, I if I showed the screw face that I carry with me, that, or I should say that my wife says that I carry with me 24/7, if I showed that between the work hours, I'm doing myself a disservice when it comes time to actually like do these collaboration things, right? So I'm trying to be kind, trying to be cordial, trying to smile on the times and days where I'm like, yeah, but everybody, I don't want to look at, talk to, I don't care about, I don't like your voice. Like at all, like you speaking, it makes the
Okay.
hair stand up, but
I feel
I
like we
can't
need to have a
show that.
conversation about that because you have a real thing with people's voices. When you are annoyed by somebody, you can't stand their voice. I will get
That's fine.
messages. I will get messages from I'd be like, yo, why is this person talking? I can't stand the sound of their voice. And that is real. You have like a real, like, if you don't like somebody,
I think it's maybe it's because of the way that I like process things and memorize things where I'm very much like visualizing but also listening. So it's very like a lot of the stuff is audible to me. Like for me to listen to you is why do I have to? Because now you're becoming a part of my memory, but I don't want you to.
I cry when I get those messages. But yeah, I think it's just like a really interesting concept because if we go back to like years ago when we started this podcast, a lot of like what we talked about was this idea of like, you know, having a teacher friend, having someone that you could actually like bounce ideas off of, someone that you
Yeah.
could talk to. And I
And
think that,
also, sorry, before you get into that, also showing like students in general, this is what a healthy
healthy.
friendship looks like. Whatever this is that you guys do, where we're, he said this about me, and now it's big fight when I didn't actually talk to him to figure out
That
if he
part.
actually said it. Like that part that happens, we're showing you like that's not supposed to happen. And what's funny enough, like even in my role now, and I'll let you get to your point, but even in my role now, the schools that I go to that know you, when they bring up their like childish or not childish, but when they bring up their like scenarios that they're going through, when they're like, it's always like, so Mr. What would you do if so and so said this about Miss Gray? What would you do? What would you do then? And then I'm like, you know, because that's my friend. That's what this is what I'm gonna have to do. And they'll be like, yeah, exactly. That's why I'm in the office, right? But go on.
Yeah, I feel like I don't even know what I was gonna say, but I agree. I think it's important for, you know, people to have someone that they can go to. But I also think that like there is a difference, and you have to be very clear in that difference between someone that you're gonna go to at work for support for things and then like a friend. And so I think we have
Okay,
to, and if we go back to like, you know, I'm trying to link you all to different podcasts. So you're gonna have to go and find all these podcasts. It's an, now it's a treasure hunt. This
yeah.
podcast has turned into a treasure hunt. But like, if you think about like, again, how we build friendships and who you consider a friend, and like we were talking about, remember when we were talking about interviewing and like applying to jobs and like,
Yeah.
would you apply if your friend applied and like all that stuff? It's interesting because with my friend, my singular friend here, I said, yo, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're competing, fun and
Exactly.
games, right?
You're an op on for those interviews. That's all it was.
That's a friendship to me. A friendship is on, like you can have the that dialogue. It was never awkward or weird or you know what I mean? Like there was nothing about it. Like it wasn't even a second thought in my mind. Like, is this going to make him uncomfortable? Like what? And so yeah, I think it's just very interesting the way that we start to categorize things and put things into these like silos, but we want so badly for everyone to be our friend when some people are just friendly.
Yeah,
And I
true.
think you need to be okay with that. In that you can. You can totally be nice and have friendly interactions with people at your work, but maybe not everyone is your friend, and that's okay.
And I think we'll wrap it up there. I know, like Alyssa said, we talked about a lot, and there's not gonna be any timestamps anywhere. You're just gonna have to listen to all of it and rewind back to a part you enjoyed, or you know, that part that you want to write down and put on your wall or something like that to encourage you.
Bumper stickers coming soon. Everyone is not your friend.
But we are teachers like us, and you can find us wherever you decide to put your subscription dollars. If you're looking to stay up to date for when we are dropping new episodes, you can follow us on Instagram at Teachers Like Us. If you're looking to see all of the amazing, not so, I don't know what he's doing over there, confession tapes of her and her job and all the stuff that she's going through as she prepares to, you know, be a doctor, you can follow her at
Alyssa G. Titer or at historicallyspeaking.ca.
And as usual, at imandre.m. And we will see you next week.
Peace.